I suppose that most of us, if you watch any television, and my television watching is very limited, but you've seen the American Airlines commercial where the pilot, the lead pilot, has all of the, the lead mechanic has all of his mechanics together, and they're working, taking care of all the detail of maintenance on the planes. And then all at once he walks up from the tarmac into the terminal, up the steps, into the main part of the terminal where people are. He looks one direction through the windows. There's a plane that's about to be boarded. Here's two small children that are there that are kind of anxiously waiting for the moment when the word's given that they can board the airplane. And then he says something like this, you know, every now and then I just have to walk up here to remind myself of the importance of what I am doing. And I thought to myself, every now and then we need to remind ourselves of the importance of what we are doing. The importance of what we are involved in. And the question that I want to ask this morning is the Church of Jesus Christ important? And number two, is your involvement in the Church of Jesus Christ important? Or maybe I could say it another way, is the church important? And secondly, is the church important to you? I want to reassure you this morning that the Church of Jesus Christ is the most exciting institution in the world today. It has been for the last 2,000 years. It will continue to be until the Lord Jesus comes to claim His church at the end of this age. It is not the United Nations. It's not NATO, it's not NAFTA, it's not the European Common Market. It's not what's going on in Washington, it's not the Pentagon, it's not the White House, it's not the House, it's not the Senate, it's not the Supreme Court. That's the most important institution in our land today. The most important institution in our world today and in America today is the Church of Jesus Christ. Now you would not know that by reading the newspapers. You would think that all of the great decisions are being made in Washington and Moscow and other places around our world. They're being made in the United Nations and through all of these different organizations. And many times the problem is, people, that we can become so brainwashed that we buy into that the Church of Jesus Christ is no longer an active player in our world. So we make the church optional in our thinking, as the world has done. The Church of Jesus Christ is where the action is, because there is a sense in which the Church of Jesus Christ is the glue that's holding society together, that's holding time together. I had the honor back during the holidays of being involved in the breakfast for the Alamo Bowl, where I was asked to conclude with a benediction, and all of the Iowa Hawkeye football team was there. And I had the privilege of sitting next to Hayden Fry and his quarterback at the head table. And I was able to look out over about 800-900 young men, some women, active athletes, people of notoriety in the community, and listen as Bruce Colley, former San Francisco 49er, whose life was empty even after the winning of two Super Bowl rings, stood up there and shared how his life was nothing more than a shell until Jesus Christ came into his life. And his life was so changed, and he so effectively and articulately and clearly communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ, that as I looked out over that great gathering in the ballroom down at the Hyatt, I was just moved to see the work that God was doing at that very moment. So I stood up at the end and I simply concluded with these remarks. I said, I believe that what has happened here in the past hour is far more significant than what will happen on the turf tomorrow night at the first annual Alamo Bowl. And I believe that, folks. You will not read, you did not read about that breakfast in the newspapers, but I have a feeling it was the most significant event of the week. And you won't read about the importance of the Church of Jesus Christ in the newspapers today, and that's why it's important for us every now and then to ask the question, how important is the church? And I say to you that the church is the glue that is holding society together. How do I know that? Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, one passage among many, clearly says that it's the church of Jesus Christ. That's the ministry which God is involved in today. Paul says, the day of the Lord shall not come until there come a falling away first, a departure, an apostasy, a falling away from the true faith, which I believe we're seeing in our day. And then he said, he that is now hindering will hinder. That is, he will hinder lawlessness and wickedness until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. What is he talking about in those verses? I believe that the he there is the Holy Spirit indwelling the church. And there is coming a time at the end of this age when the Holy Spirit is going to be taken up from the earth, just as the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It will be a reversal of Pentecost. And once that happens, all ungodliness is going to be unleashed and wickedness to the point that the Antichrist, the man of sin, will be revealed. And then he will come into power as a result of all of the anarchy and lawlessness. The church is the glue that's holding society together. And isn't it exciting that we are a part of the church? That which God is doing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, predicting that moment, the day of Pentecost, when the church would begin and continue right on down until it's completed, he said, I will build my church, I will do it, I will build it, and the gates of Hades will not be able to stand or prevail against it. What's he saying? That all of the opposition from hell, all of the opposition that Satan can muster against the church, he will not be successful. And folks, 2,000 years later, we are evidence of the truth of the words that Jesus spoke. You cannot prevail against the church. Civilizations come and go. Our civilization has gone, has come, our civilization is going. Institutions come and go. Governments come and go. As we know well from Eastern Europe, Russia, from our own country. But the church of Jesus Christ is indestructible. Why? Because Jesus said, I will build it, and the gates of Hades will not be able to prevail against it. That's why the church is the most important institution in the world today, because it is eternal. It is the body of Jesus Christ. It is His expression in our world today, that is His body, the church, through which He is manifesting His presence. In fact, St. Augustine, the church father, said, he who does not love the church as his mother does not love God as his father. Now, what I'm going to say for a few moments is going to make some of you mad, but that's okay. This is my birthday today, and God said you can say whatever you want to. You're not going to be happy with me, and that's okay. I'm at an age where I can handle having people upset with me. But I know one thing, I want my conscience to be clear before God. And I don't want anybody to be able to stand that day and say, Pastor Troxell, why didn't you tell me how important the church was and my involvement in it is? Why? The church is the body of Christ. It's His expression in the world today. Your involvement in the church is not optional. I hear more and more people today, and some of you may be of that mindset where you say, you know, I want Christ. I don't want anything to do with this church. So people in our society who claim the name of Jesus Christ just sort of flip from one church to another, never really get involved in the mainstream of ministry. Always on the move, never willing to commit themselves to any given church or any given ministry. And we say, oh, but I love Jesus. I love Christ. He is my one desire. Where's the evidence? You can't love Christ without loving His body. The church is His body. Husband goes up to his wife and he says, "You know, honey, I really love you. I really love you. I can't stand the sight of your body. I don't want to be around you, but I love you." You see, words are cheap, but actions speak. Your children come up to you saying, "You know, Dad and Mom, I really love you, but I can't stand to listen to you. I don't like what you have to say to me. In fact, I don't even like to be around you." Empty words. We say, "Jesus, I love you. But where's my commitment to the church?" Jesus says, "If you really love me, where's your commitment to my body?" You've never joined the church of Jesus Christ. Shame on you. Shame on you. You've never become involved in the ministry to the body of Jesus Christ and the members of that body. You're on the fringes. You love to come. You love to listen to the Word of God. But you go out and there's never any active follow-up to it. Empty words. And Jesus is saying, "Where is your commitment to me?" Never become involved in a ministry? Shame on you. I say that because how are you going to explain that to Jesus Christ on the day of judgment? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear, each one individually, at the judgment seat of Christ to each receive according to his works," each one of us. And you might be able to give excuses to those around you who ask you today, and you might be able to give excuses to your children today as to why you're not involved in the church, but how are you going to excuse it in that day when the Lord Jesus looks down into your eyes with tears in His eyes and says, "Why didn't you love my body? Why?" You say, but Lord, you know, I was there, I was dedicated in the church. My parents told me about that. That was a wonderful moment. I was dedicated in the church. And 21 years later, we got married in the church. And that was a marvelous, marvelous experience of getting married in the church of Jesus Christ. And then 30, 40 years later, Lord, I don't remember it, but they tell me I was actually buried in the church. Not in the church, but a memorial service there. Yeah, Lord, I was hatched, matched, and dispatched to the church. Doesn't that count for anything, you know? The Lord finally looks at you and says, "Well, are there any other evidences that you love me? Any other evidences? How about your checkbook? Well, let me look at your checkbooks. Is there evidence in your checkbooks that the Church of Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life?" Now, how would it be? You go up to your wife and you say, "Honey, you know, I'm going to be so gracious. I'm going to give you 1% of everything I make this year." She'd be impressed, wouldn't she? "Oh, honey, thank you for your gratuity. 5%, 10%. But Lord, I had new BMWs, I had new Cadillacs, I had all these new cars. Every 4 years, man, there they are, new cars every 2 years. I know I'm meddling." You know, sometimes we need that, though. We are a community. Think of John Lucas having to motivate the Spurs every once in a while. Thank God I'm not Buddy Ryan, you know. I'm not using his methodology up here this morning. What is the church all about? Now, I'm just going to briefly mention this morning. The name church, ecclesia, at its root means a called out people. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is, called out from a wicked, perverse society to reflect His glory, His likeness, His image becomes His body. His visible presence on earth. Just as in the Old Testament, Israel was God's chosen, Acts 7, verse 38, Stephen refers to them as a called out assembly in the Old Testament wilderness. That was Israel. Now, the church has not replaced Israel because God has a future ministry with Israel. But during this present time, He is building His church. So the church becomes a community, and here is where I believe the church begins in Acts chapter 2. Now, there are seven things that I've noted here, and we're not going to have time to go through all these this morning, but seven things about the church, and I want to focus in on a couple of them. The church is to be as a community. Verse 42, it's to be a teaching community. It's to be the center for good, sound Bible teaching or apostolic teaching, responding to the teaching that was handed down by the apostles through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's apostolic teaching. And the church is to be the center for good, sound Bible teaching. That's what they were doing steadfastly. They were continuing in the doctrine of the apostles. Recently, when the elders were strategizing and some of us, we were talking about the future direction of the church and praying for the needs of the church and direction for the church, one of the men said, and I thought it was so well put, he said, you know, there is a danger when a church begins to have gymnasiums and bowling alleys and all of these other things, that the church becomes activity-centered rather than teaching-centered. And that doesn't mean those things are wrong. But if you notice, if you followed it historically, that can become true. We get so caught up and ingrown around our facilities that we're never really, number one, emphasizing the priority of teaching, which ought to be emphasized in the church, beginning at the very earliest ages, right on up through until God takes us home. That's what we ought to be doing as a church. Teaching, that's our priority. God says that's what's important for a church. And then a fellowshipping community. Notice it says they were continuing in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And the Greek word there, koinonia, simply means a sharing together, having one common goal and motivating one another towards that goal. That's what we're to be doing. You watch the football games this afternoon and you'll see them in huddles. And in those huddles, sometimes they're chewing on one another like I'm chewing on some of you this morning. They're trying to motivate one another because they've got one common goal, that is to win. And they're going to do whatever they can in the way of exhortation to get one another to respond in such a way that finally we can achieve that goal. That's why it's important for you to be in church every Sunday. That's why it's important for you to regularly get together with other people, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you're involved in a church where you're not being exhorted, then you're simply not involved in a church that's doing its thing. It's important for us. It's a community which breaks bread together. I assume that this means the sharing of the Lord's Supper together. As we observe the Lord's Supper monthly here, we are reminding one another that this body is the body for which Christ died. He gave His own body. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So every time we come together and we fellowship around the Lord's Supper, what are we doing? We are reminding one another of the importance of what we are doing, what we are in, that we are part of something for which God Himself died. So the church is priceless. Priceless. Is it to you? It's a community which prays together. That means corporate praying together. When you pray with others, it gives you a sense of togetherness. It's important to pray individually, but it's equally important to pray with others. That's part of the church. When two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there I am in the midst of them. And whether we feel His presence or not has nothing to do with it. God says where people are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son, He is present. So He is present here this morning. Part of His church. He's gathered here with us. He is the unseen guest. I always love the story when Franklin Roosevelt was president and he had a church that he regularly went to, and someone called the rector of that church on a given Sunday morning and said, do you know, is President Roosevelt going to be attending the service this morning? The rector thought for a moment. He said, no. He says, I'm really not aware of that, but he says, God will be here. And he said, I assume that that would be reason enough to have a rather large crowd gather together. God is here. That's why the church is important. That's why it's important that we be part of that, praying together. And then the church is to be a reaching community. It's to be reaching out to the rest of the world. Notice in Acts 2, God added to the church daily such as were being saved. It was a marvelous thing to be part of. And it's still a marvelous thing to be part of the church and to see what God is doing. Even as I listen to this wonderful gal sharing her testimony, how she came to Christ in Moscow, to see that God is working on the other side of the world. It's a wonderful thing. God never gives up. He's continuing to minister all around the world as the gospel goes out. We're to be part of that. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you are to be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." And that is the outline of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1 through chapter 8, verse 4, it's in Jerusalem. Then the ministry goes out, Judea and Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, on through the end of Acts chapter 12. Beginning in Acts chapter 13, here's the third part of that outline. The gospel is now going out to the uttermost parts of the earth as Paul begins his missionary journeys. So that he ends up clear over in Rome at the end of Acts chapter 28. And here we have the gospel in America today, because the church moved out. And that's the pattern for every church. Every church is to be a reaching community. We are not to neglect the needs in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but we are also at the same time to be involved in ministries that reach around the world. That's a church that's alive. Following the end of the British rule in India in the 1940s, a group of social scientists decided to do a study to see the impact of British rule over the last 300 years. You know what happened? They gave up the study after 6 months. And the reason? Because they discovered as they went through many of the villages in India that most of these people were never even aware that the British had been there. 300 and some years. They weren't even aware the British had been there. The British had been present since the 1600s, but the average Indian villager lived and died without any awareness that the British had ever even been present. And we are still living in a world where the king has come and gone. His presence needs to be made known, but millions are still totally unaware of that great fact. And that's where we come in as a church. The elder board feels so strongly on this. We believe that we are living at the very end of this age. And there are presently windows of opportunity here and around the world that we need to enter into. Those windows may not always be open, and one day the blinds may even be pulled. We may not have any entrance in, and we may not even be able to see into those countries. But today they're open. Is this a time to be spending money for our own conveniences? And we believe it is not. That we need to do a number of things. We need to emphasize the establishing of satellite churches. One which would also consider mission churches in areas of the city where there's a need for Bible teaching churches, but there is not the economic base to support it. And folks, God has gifted us in such a way that we can do that if we're willing to make His church a priority in our lives. And we need to accelerate our missions programs, particularly in areas of the world where the windows of opportunity might be limited and the hunger for spiritual truth is so evident today. I think we were all thrilled at the opportunity to be able to give $65,000, $67,000 towards that training center in southeastern Romania. And a missionary not long ago was here who was totally unacquainted with, or uninvolved, I should say, with that ministry. But he said, "I want to tell you that that is perhaps the most strategic ministry in Romania today. That all of the churches in Romania are looking at what Pastor Stefanuts is doing, that it's becoming the model church, and we have a part of it." It's a wonderful thing. At the same time, we cannot neglect our needs here. And as you look around this morning, we're packed. And I can only imagine what our parking lot must look like out here. Same thing happened at the early service. We might even have been a little more packed at the early service. But we need additional space for ministries and to be able to adequately equip people. We need Sunday school space. We need staff space. I mean, We're nearly desperate for it. And the elders, the leadership recognizes that. So we recommend that we add on to these present facilities as we plan, that is on the flat part of Fellowship Hall back here, and add on to the counseling center. But at the same time, we are strongly recommend, well, I shouldn't say it quite that way. We are recommending that this is not the time to pursue the purchasing of the property across the street. That we believe that we ought to be willing to deal with inconvenience in order that the rest of the world has the convenience of at least hearing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ at least once. And that's something that we've only come to after a lot of praying about this. At the same time, we need to make provision for more people in worship services, and that's why we're going to the Saturday night service. We would encourage you to become part of that, to free up facilities here on Sunday morning for those who feel like only Sunday morning is the time to be in church. But consider that as a priority in your life. The church is also to be a caring community. Notice how they cared for one another. They looked out for one another. That's how the body expresses itself. As their sharing of what they had with those who did not have in order that needs might be met. And I'll tell you, folks, I was so thrilled. I have been not only at Christmas, but all through the year, but especially during the holidays, to see how God moved upon your hearts to give to people here who have needs, as well as on the eastern side of our city and in the black communities and as well as in the Hispanic community, and to see how God used you and to see how the body functions. It is a true blessing to be involved in the middle of that. And I'll tell you something. The world will never be impressed by our facilities because they can always build them bigger and better. But they will be impressed by our abilities to be able to love one another because they don't know how to do that. And Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one for another. Why was the community surrounding the early church in Jerusalem impressed, in awe of what was going on? Because they saw how the believers cared for one another. And then finally, the church is to be a worshiping community. Praising God, spontaneous worship, recognizing God is the giver of all things. He can take it at any time. He's given it. We have been so blessed with bounty as people, as a church, and we have a lot to praise God for. And we need to, every time we come together, be thinking of God, how can I praise you today? How can I better worship you today? And I believe we're moving positively in a good direction in that area. Our response is twofold in closing. Number one, consider your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is your primary concern. It ought to be. But secondly, consider your relationship with the church. That is the second most important issue you face in your life, is the relationship with the body of Jesus Christ. It's like love and marriage and horse and carriage. You cannot have one without the other. You can't say, Jesus, I love you, without caring about His body. Doesn't work. John chapter 21, Jesus with Peter. He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Oh, Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus says, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Peter, tend my sheep. What's he saying? Peter, if you really love me, then you're going to love my body. You're going to be committed to my people. You can't stay on the fringes. You can't play church. You can't just come whenever you feel like it. You can't just minister whenever you feel like it. Peter, and he's saying it to all of us, if you really love me, then you better get serious about your relationship with my body. You may say, boy, I don't like what you're saying. I'm mad. I think I'll write a letter to the elders. That's okay. In fact, I've decided I don't care from this point on in my life what happens to me. I want to know when I stand before God that I have been faithful in sharing what God wants me to share with you people through His Word. You may want to start a movement to get rid of me, and that's okay too. I think I have the elders' support on this one since they sanctioned it. I'll tell you, we need to re-examine our priorities because you're not going to hear what real priorities are. Everything that the world holds to be important is absolutely unimportant. You can almost reverse it every time. Whatever the world considers to be important, it is unimportant. Whatever the world says isn't important, that's what's important. The Church of Jesus Christ is important. You be a part of it because you're going to give an account on the Day of Judgment for your attitude towards His church. Let's pray together. Father, in this day when so many have written the church off, we know that this church is still that which is most important in your mind. And I pray that you'll help us to re-examine our lives and the things that are important to us. That we no longer say with empty words, "Jesus, I love you, but I could care less about your body." Help us to be consistent. In Jesus' name, amen.